you, Pastor. Well, let's pray for our pastor, because not only does he serve as his own secretary and doing all those things and getting all those notices out to everybody, then he has to sometimes call people and remind them. And then in the wintertime, he plows the snow before he comes to preach. So I don't know how many more jobs we can find for him to do. And he is had an executive director over the bridge, which is run by Jeff and Naomi, and they do a wonderful job. And every time I get to fill in for pastor and preach, I always have a problem, because I have like three or four topics I want to use. And I said, you know, like, how can I get three or four topics in one sermon and still get the people out by 2 o'clock, you know? So today I wanted to talk about your race and family tree. But wait a minute. Does anybody have a camera? Because I don't want anybody to take a picture and call the police and say, wait a minute, there's a black man in the pulpit. And where's our pastor? How come he's not there? These strange things, and Nate just took my picture, so he'll probably call the police, and the police will come, and they'll say, does he belong there? And they'll say, yeah. But these things have been happening throughout our country. So today my topic is your race and family tree. Also, I have this question. What's in your wallet? You heard that Capital commercial. But more important, what's in your heart? And only God knows what's in your heart. Family likeness. Who are you like in your family? Who are you like in God's family? You know, Jeff and Naomi are going to have a little boy soon. And we wonder, is he going to be like Jeff, athletic, doing all this stuff, running? Jeff's still with the bridge, the group that meets on Mondays and Thursdays. He's out there running with the junior high and high school kids and keeping up with them. You know, last Thursday, I think he was about a half a step slower. And he thought, oh, man, I must be getting old. You know, he was saying that. And he doesn't know that. He's still got years to go before he gets old. When I celebrated my 71st birthday, I had three of my former students call me. One was 66, one was 65, and one was 64. And that's because I started teaching right out of college. And so I was only like 5-6 years older than the seniors that I was dealing with at Grace Lake High School. But they thought you're in your 30s, and of course they think you've been teaching forever and ever. And so you can pull the wool over their eyes, I guess, a little bit. But who are you like in your family, and who are you like in God's family? So I want to look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 13, and then I'm going to take a short look at Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it was not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. There where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me? Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my Father's name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And let's take a quick look at Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, because I wanted to sort of get this in. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasures of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. My little grandson kept singing this song a couple of months ago. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Of course, he had perfect pitch and tone, which I don't have. You know, they often ask me to sing Far, Far Away or Never Again. So you can't hear me. But those are things that they just say. But he would sing that song. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, the mouth speaks. So out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in our heart is what comes out of our mouths. So when you hear the speech of people, you will know. Here are some of the things that we do know. It's sort of like a quick review. Rahab did not obey the law by hiding the spies and providing a safe way for them to leave. Politically speaking, she was guilty of treason by going against the government, but she had a higher authority to follow that was God. This information is found in Joshua chapter 2. You can take time to read it for yourself. Rahab had decided that she would no longer help those who were disobedient to God. Rather, she would stand for God's law. Those who were disobedient to God, she would not follow. Rather, she would stand for God's law and his people. Rahab honored God rather than man, and God honored Rahab. God saved her by his infinite grace and her family as well. He placed her among the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. He also placed her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. This was quite an honor for someone who was known as a harlot, as a prostitute. She had been known, but she saved him because God does wonderful things. David was called a man after God's own heart, but he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Moses killed someone and then tried to hide the body and went to attack another man while they were fighting and in an argument, and the man said, "Are you going to kill me too?" And then he wandered away and then in the desert. But God has a plan for each and every one of us. God sees and knows what's in our heart. And out of our heart, the mouth speaks. So what you hear people say is what's in their heart. We've had a number of things happen. There were three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or some people say Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro, you know, but the term bad then meant good. You know, like back in the 80s, that was a bad car, meant that was a good car. And if you've ever seen the movie Glory Road, and if you haven't seen it, you should. It's about a basketball team during the 60s. Texas El Paso, a little college in Texas, that won the national title. And they started five black players for the final game against Kentucky and Adolph Rupp. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was an unwritten rule that you played one black player when you were at home. You could play two black players if you were on the road. And if you were losing by 10 points or more, you could play three black players. So you were limited to that. Now, I grew up at a time when I was born in the South where they had drinking fountains, one for white and one for colored. And so if you were colored or black, you did not dare drink out of the white fountain. Although the water came up from one pipe and then split two ways, so it was the same water. In the movie theater, if you were black, you could not sit on the main floor. You had to sit in the balcony. I thought that was a better deal. But, you know, just to have the opportunity to sit on the floor if you wanted to would be a good thing. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused and were thrown into a fiery furnace, but God protected them. This great country that we live in was founded on the basis of protest. People protest against King George. They went against the rule. If you've never had an opportunity to see the play Hamilton, I advise you, with all your power, to go and get a ticket. They're very expensive. And, of course, I went to see it. And, of course, you know me, always looking for a way I could go. I went with a group of school children to help supervise, so I got a free ticket and a meal afterwards. So it was a great deal for a $190 ticket to get to see it free. Not only that, but I sat on the end of an aisle row, so I had all this leg room like the person that would be sitting in that seat, so I could really stretch out. It was really good. And most of the actors were Latin, Hispanic, or black, with about 10% white. 90% were of the others. They had a round stage in the middle that rotated around so people could change scenes in and out, and then an outer square part of the presentation where they had could set up different scenery. And Thomas Jefferson, of course, our third president, and Alexander Hamilton eventually became great friends, even though Jefferson and Washington, seven of our first 10 presidents, owned slaves. And, of course, Sally, one of the servants for Thomas Jefferson, had a family of blacks. And those families today unite and get together and have family reunions, the blacks and the whites of those generations that have come to this day. So what's in our heart? We see people protesting today about many things. We see people taking a knee or raising a fist, not against the flag, but about unfair police officers. There are a lot of good policemen that protect and serve us. However, there are many, both black and white, that abuse their power. Just in the past 2 weeks, I saw a black police officer just pounding on a black man that had said something that he didn't like, and he was beating with both fists. It looked like Muhammad Ali that had somebody against the rope pounding on him. And, of course, he was put on administrative leave, but then he quit because he would have been fired. And they dropped the charges against the man. I don't even know what it was that he said. And then this week there was an 87-year-old lady who didn't speak English. And she had wandered onto a campground. And she was cutting dandelions with a knife. And the police came and they said, put the knife down. But she didn't understand them. She showed them the dandelion and the knife. And she was going like this, I'm cutting dandelions. She was going to make green. And this was in Georgia where my daughter has a house. And what do you think the police did? They tased her, an 87-year-old woman. What was her crime? She was trespassing. She was on campground cutting dandelions, getting greens for her supper that she was going to make. Other things that have happened a person sleeping in a dorm, and someone called the police on her because she was sleeping in the study area. But she lived in the dorm, and they didn't realize that she did. And the police came and said, "Do you live here?" And she goes, "Yes." And she showed them the key to her room and went and opened the door. And they still said, "We need to see your ID to make sure you're a student here." And she showed them her ID. Another set of people picnicking, barbecuing in the park, and someone told them, "Hey, you're black. You can't barbecue in the park. Get out of here." They called the police. The police told the person she was a nuisance, and they put her face up on the internet, and the woman lost her job. Another couple, a lady with her kids at the swimming pool, told they couldn't swim there because they were black. And they didn't live in the association. But she showed them her ID, and she did live there. Even though the police was called on her, she had to prove that she lived there. Another black lady was eating lunch on the college campus of a prestigious East Coast university, and I won't name them out of embarrassment. But a lady came up and said, "Hey, you can't eat lunch here. You don't belong here. You're black. This is an all-white school." The police came. The lady explained that she was a visiting professor from Africa, and she was eating her lunch on the quad. And what? Just last night, a black man in Milwaukee went into a store. He forgot some stuff in his car. His car, super nice. The wheels, a convertible, really great looking car. He came out of the store to go back in the car, and he's looking in the glove compartment and looking all over, and a lady sees him and starts to take a picture and says, "Get out of that car. That's not your car." And he goes, "This is my car." And so he took his camera. I forgot my wife took my phone away from me so it wouldn't ring. So he started taking pictures back of her. And she said, "I'm calling the police." And he said, "Call the police." And when the police came, she had run away. And he did own that nice, shiny car, convertible. That was his car. He was looking for papers in the glove compartment, in the back seat, something that had fallen down to, we call it no man's land in our cars. You know those seats where you drop stuff in and you can't find it, or you forgot that you dropped it there, and so on and so forth. So what does this all have to do with a family tree and what we are? Because we're known by what comes out of our mouth, by our heart, and what we speak. When we talk about family tree, we think about Jeff and Naomi, and I wonder what that little boy is going to be like. Is he going to be a great singer like Naomi? Is he going to be a great athlete like Jeff? Maybe he'll be like his grandfather and do both. He'll be musical. You know, he's got a grandfather on the other side, or maybe he'll be like his grandmother and work in the school system. Who knows? But God knows. And God has ordained us. And I was talking to Naomi the other day. She said to me, "It's just amazing. There's a little boy in here. And I can feel him moving. There's his bottom right there. And he's pushing it out. Isn't it just amazing?" It is amazing. Because God knew us when we were knitted in our mother's womb. He knew us long before we ever knew him. And God sent his son to be the perfect sacrifice. So in John chapter 14, let's look a little bit at each one of the verses and sort of what they say. If we look at the first three verses, "Do not let your heart be troubled," Jesus said, "trust in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it was not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you." So he's preparing a place for us. You know, we go to our daughter's house in Georgia, and they've got a house that's a small mansion. 8 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, 3-car garage, a swimming pool, a trampoline that's at ground level. swing set slides, the tube slide and the regular slide. And my grandkids from Racine, when they go down to see their twin girls, grandkids that are in Georgia, they say, can we go to the park? It's all a part of their backyard. But they think it's a park because it's got all this stuff there. And when we go down there, we see our girls that someday will probably look like this. That was what was on National Geographic, because one's black and one's white. Well, how did that happen? Well, my wife's white. She's sitting in the back there saying, don't embarrass me. And then my daughter married a white man. So now that means that their kids are 3/4 white, 1/4 black. But you know, there's diversity. And one of the countries that has some of the greatest diversity is Africa. Africa is not a country. Africa is a continent. There are 54 countries. There are over 2,000 languages or dialects being spoken there. There's more diversity in Africa than all the rest of the world combined. But population-wise, there are more Asian people, 51%, than all the rest of the world combined at 49%. So think about that for a while. And then that can be divided into categories. But in verses 1 and 3, we see that Jesus shows that the way to eternal life is through being seen and secure as you trust in Jesus. Trust and obey. He's the only way. He's prepared the way to eternal life. The only issue that may still be settled is your willingness to believe. It's a free gift, but you have to accept it. You know, at Christmas time, we give gifts, and you have to accept it. And I know I told this story before, but I'll tell it again, because Pastor says when you get old and I'm 71, you can tell stories over again, and people just ignore it, saying, yeah, we've heard that story before. But a grandmother gave her kids presents at Christmas time all the time, and they never appreciated it. You know, they didn't like the sweater, they didn't like the book or whatever. So one year she thought, these grandkids are so ungrateful that this year I'm just going to let them buy their own gifts. And so she wrote out a little card saying, this year you can buy your own present for Christmas. And she wrote out a check for each one of them. And then she sealed up the envelope. But only one little thing. She forgot to put the check in the envelope. So when the kids opened the envelope, it said, this year you can buy your own Christmas present. And there was no check. Imagine their surprise. There are few verses in Scripture that describe eternal life, but these verses are rich with promises. Here Jesus tells us, this is what we're going to do. We're going to prepare this place, many mansions. I'll come again and receive you to myself, as he's talking in verse 3. In verse 4, where I go, you know the way. Verse 3, we talked about the many mansions. In verse 4, and you know the way to where I'm going. And then, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Well, Jesus is the way. But they're saying, how do we know the way? And the disciples have been with him through all these time periods. They've seen all these miracles, turning water into wine, raising a dead man, turning people with leprosy and curing them, causing the lame to walk again, causing a man who was inherited with spirits, for the spirits to come out of the man and go into the pigs, and the pigs go over the cliff. The man was ecstatic. The people never knew that this man could be calm and collected anymore. Of course, the people that owned the pigs that went over the cliff, they weren't very happy with Jesus. And that was how it was a lot of time with some of the things that he did. But it was done so it could be shown. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So nobody is going to get to heaven except through our Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood and accepting him as Lord, Master, and Savior in your life. And people will talk about there are many ways, and isn't this sort of narrow thinking? Well, no, not really. It's really wide. Because he offers a free gift, and all you have to do it. It's not like the grandmother who sent the letters that saying, buy your own gift. Jesus said, I'm giving this to you. God said, I'm sending my only son that he could die on the cross for all the sins you ever did in the past and all the sins you'll ever do in the future. And it covered all the people in the Old Testament that had sinned. His shed blood, the perfect sacrifice. And verse 5, after Thomas had said, we don't know the way, Jesus said to him, the way, the truth, and the light. And if we go on to verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 7, just think about it. If you'd known Jeff, you know John, because they're both athletic. They both have talent. Now, which one's better than the other, I'm not going to say, because I'm not going to get in an argument today. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And John and Lizzie have two boys. And what are those two boys going to be like? And Jana, that gave the Ted's report, she's the godfather, godmother. Oh, not godfather, that's James Brown. She's the godmother of one of the brothers, one of the sons. And what will be they? What will they be like? Will they be athletic like their father? Will they be musical like their mother? Will they end up being an English teacher like their mother? Or maybe they'll be great in math and be a math teacher like their dad. What will they be? We don't know what's in their heart, but it's being developed. But God knows, and God knows what they will be. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. So if you know Jeff and John, you know that they're athletic. They played in a three-way basketball tournament down in Pastor's hometown. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. So Philip said, Lord, just show us the Father, and that will be enough. But he didn't understand that Jesus was saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know Jeff and Naomi, you know what their kid is probably going to be like. Either like them or like their grandparents on either side. Or maybe something entirely different. Maybe President of the United States someday. Who knows? But there are all these possibilities. So when Philip says, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us. It was. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Because if you've been with me, you've seen the Father. Because I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. If you've seen the little Nicolene boy who's 2 and going on 3, you know him. And if you see him doing something that's not appropriate, that's probably because of the godmother, certainly not because of the father or the mother or the grandparents, you know, Kevin and Denise. It wouldn't be because of them, you know. Or our kids. Sometimes my wife would say, you know what your son did? All of a sudden, he's my son. She didn't have any part of him. This is what he did. You know, and it was really hard for me because sometimes I get a phone call at school. And being a public school teacher and a public school administrator, my wife would call because she was having problems with one of the kids. Because we homeschooled our kids, and people said, "What? You homeschooled your kids and you were a public school teacher and administrator?" Yeah, I said, sort of like the butcher that didn't eat too much red meat. So my wife would call and said, "I'm having problems with Gabriel. He doesn't want to show his work in math." And Gabe says, "Why should I have to show my work? I know the answer. Here's the answer. This is the way it should be." And I'm in a room of people, and I get the phone and say, "Put him on the phone." "Gabe, yes. Do you know what you did?" "Yeah." "Well, you better take care of it before I come home." You know, I was saying, "Wait till your father gets home." You know, so she didn't have to say that. But that's out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Verse 10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but by the Father who dwells in me does his works. So the words that Jesus was speaking are not his own, but the Father who dwells in him. So if you know him, you know the Father. If you know his words, you know the Father's words. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. If you don't believe me, just look at all the things that have been done. How could these things have been done without God the Father? It was God the Father working through me that I was able to do all these things in order to glorify the Father, God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, most assuredly, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. The greater works that these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to the Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. There will be many mansions. You'll have more than a trampoline at ground level and a playground and a swimming pool and 8 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms and a 3-car garage. That'll be nothing. That'll be like dirt compared to what God has prepared for you. And some people say, "Well, yeah, give me that dirt. I'll take it." You know, we settle for less, but we want more. Greater are these works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. In verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, in Jesus' name, and we pray it in our prayer, we pray in Jesus' name that this will be done, that the Father may be glorified. And we're praying so the Lord can be glorified through it all. Not to get glory for ourselves, but to get glory for our Lord and Savior, who provided that perfect sacrifice for us. Perfect sacrifice. Perfect sacrifice. You heard the song just before we came, "In Christ Alone." In Christ Alone. That's sort of an anthem song for our family when our oldest son passed away 11 years ago. Left 3 children behind. And kept saying to myself, to God, why him? Why not me? I'm old, he's young. But Psalm 90:10 tells us that we're promised 70 years plus 10. So that's 70 years. For some more, for some less. We don't know when the Lord will call us home. But we know when the Lord calls us home, where we will be going if we've got the Lord in our heart. And out of our heart, the mouth speaks the word of the Lord. And we're blessed because of it. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 real quick here. Because I want to get you out on time. Because it's one of the things, you know, the system passes. Get them out on time, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of like the drive through. When you get pastor, you get the 3-7-course meal. When you get me, you get the drive through, you know. Give me a Coke, fries, and a burger, and I'm on my way. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Yeah, that's 43 and 44. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick up figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars or thorn bushes. A good man brings good things out of the good stored in the heart. And an evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as you listen to people around you, you listen to what they say, and you can tell what they're saying because out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. We had people from our, I hate to get political, but I have to for just 1 minute. People that talk about our freedom that we have and the protests that we found this country upon and the freedom of speech that we enjoy. And it should be. And we have 60-some intelligent people saying that, hey, this is not right. We need to speak up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they spoke up. They stood up. And they were thrown into a fiery furnace. And the Lord protected them. If we see things around us that are not right, I don't mean a black man getting into a shiny new convertible car or a black family barbecuing in a park and you tell them you can't do that. And then for a series of jokes on one of the late night show, they had this lady with her picture and they showed all these things that had been done to black people. And one was a lady going into a gated community and a white man following her because he had a unit in there that he rented out and he thought only white people lived in that. But this lady lived there. Not only did she live there, but she was a surgeon. But he called the police on her and she showed him that she had the garage door opener, she had the keys to the house, and she still had to show her ID, even though she was a surgeon working on people's lives with their lives in her hand. But out of the mouth, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your wallet? But more important, what's in your heart? What do you have to say about our Lord Jesus? Are you always ready to give an answer? Are you always ready to say, this is God's word, not my word? And I'm so happy that he died for me. And people think the way is narrow because if Jesus Christ is the only way, what about all the other religions and all the other people? Everyone has an opportunity. At any day, at any time, the Lord can return. because his word is being spread throughout the nations and through most of the countries in Africa. But people choose or select a religion of their parents or one of their own or not to have any at all. But we know what's in their heart, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the only way that we can be saved is by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son providing the gift that was a perfect gift, a perfect sacrifice for us. We thank you and praise you that you loved us so much that long before we ever knew you, you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Give us strength. Give us endurance. Help us do the right things, those things that are right and pleasing in your eyesight. Help us to be careful, not to be proud, lest we stumble. Help us to show others the way to you, the only way to be saved. And help us, for out of our hearts, our mouth speaks, and we know what it says. It says that you are Lord of all. Amen.